Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, Zach.
And I'm John.
And we are back on this Tuesday episode, or whatever day you're listening to this on. And I hope it's being, this day is treating you well.
Yeah.
Because we have got some good Dune content to talk about today. We are, of course, talking about minute 86 through 87. And when we left off yesterday, we were in the middle of this pendant ceremony.
Middle of handing off a pendant.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, between a hooded man with a very large, you know, crooked hooked nose and another person floating about 3 feet ahead of him. Yeah. Or 3 feet above him. So, as we said, there's only one person that this could have been, and it's our good old friend Vladimir Harkonnen.
The Baron.
Yeah. And we see him immediately at the start of this minute. And he kind of has just the perfect, you know, Stellan Skarsgård Baron grimace as he, like, yeah, rotates around. And it's kind of funny.
Each time we see the Baron, I am in awe of his girth.
In awe of the size of, yes, the lad.
It always takes me by surprise. Like, I don't know how one achieves that build, but it's impressive. So we get we cut to a wide shot and we get to see the crowd and all the folks on stage. And we do get another shot of the Baron's medical balloons beside him.
Yep.
And they're, you know, just floating, doing their thing. And then we get some translated Harkonnen language. I still think the Harkonnen language sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's very Germanic and...
Yeah. It's guttural is the word that came to mind.
Yeah.
And I didn't write down what the word said, but I'm almost certain you did.
Yeah. All hail Na Baron Fade Rotha, the new planetary governor of Arrakis.
Right. So, two questions here.
Yes.
I guess really one question.
Okay.
Where is Beast Raban? I'm assuming, I know he's on Arrakis.
Yep.
At the time. But, like, do you think he's aware of this shift in leadership? Like, it was just taken away from him?
No.
You don't think he's aware?
No.
Okay.
Probably not. I mean, well, he's probably too stupid to put two and two together.
I don't know. I mean, I think we talked about this in some minutes past, but he's not... Yes, he is a blunt object that they use, but he's not a complete idiot.
No. Okay, no, I take it back. Because, you know, he did get his warning already from Vladimir, and he's continued to fail. And, you know, last time we saw him, he failed pretty fucking hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe Rabin, you know, does know that something will eventually happen, but, like, he's clearly not here in this group because, yeah, we get a wider shot as Vladimir turns and, you know, we see Fade and there's, like, a group of goons behind him and then, like, hundreds in the audience or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, they're all just watching, but notably the large Beast Rabin is not there.
Yeah. So,
but it would make sense for him to still remain on Arrakis.
For the time being.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think you would have a Dave Bautista on stage and not give him screen time.
No.
Yeah, it'd be a waste of a Bautista.
But then again, at the beginning of the movie, we didn't have Fade Rotha when, you know, Vladimir was anointing Rabin as the planetary governor.
And that was probably on Arrakis.
Right.
Yeah.
That said, they were also clearly holding off Fade's reveal until later in the movie too. Because if there's just like another dude standing right next to Rabin, it'd be like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah, you gotta have a ceremonious Austin Butler entrance.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Baron floats over and he places the necklace on Fade, and then we get like this like downward Nazi salute from the people behind him.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah.
And it looks super intentional. I mean, it looks like it was a direct callback callback reference to the Nazi salute. And then
Vladimir gives some words to Fade, and he says, "Rid me of this Fremen demon," as he grabs Fade by the cheeks and, like, kind of pulls him up for a weird, super, like, Foley didn't have to do this, and it makes me really uncomfortable, but, like, a super wet kiss.
Yeah.
And then Fade...
Hang on. So, we talked yesterday about how maybe the Harkonnens are cousin fuckers.
Yeah.
They might be. I mean, they are royalty, and that's not exactly uncommon in, like, aristocracy.
Sure.
But
doesn't mean it's right.
No, I'm not making excuses for it. I'm just saying that, yeah, it's happened before. It could have just ended with a kiss. It was only a kiss. How did it end up like this? Fade, though, decides one's not enough.
Fade goes in for seconds.
Yeah, he in sloppy seconds.
Ugh, stop.
Yeah, he goes in for another fully on the mouth kiss with the Baron,
his uncle,
and yeah, that's it's very intense, very like passionate. Looks like a kiss. I didn't see any tongue, so at least we got that going for him, I guess. But I don't know if that's exactly proper on stage decorum, is to maybe slip in a little tongue.
Probably not.
So the only thing I did notice here is that Fade's protruding brow looks a little bit less protruding in this moment.
It's probably just the lighting.
I was about to say, it could just be better lighting, but
yeah.
We kind of get a weird side profile. Or not a weird side. We get a side profile of him, and it just looks slightly more normal. It's still protruding a little bit.
Yeah. And then all the goons in the auditorium or wherever this is, all start doing their weird Harkonnen jerk off celebration, you know.
It's like okay, so not to get too Star Trek with this, there is the idea of the Kirk punch in Star Trek.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Where it's like the super pulled, like arm in, more elbow kind of.
No. It is the Kirk punch is a fingers clasp.
Oh, okay.
Like a hands clasped together and double-handed punch down.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And that's basically what they're doing here.
Except they're doing it like over their head and like kind of backwards, and they're just like, yeah.
It's a very strange two-handed fist shake in the air.
It's a two-handed jerk-off midair.
And we get another shot of the crowd in moments of celebration here. Very clearly a CG crowd. This is not the most egregious use of CG in the movie. It's up there. Again, I think that there's just something going on with this movie when they try to show vast amounts of Harkonnens. It looks a little off.
Yeah. Well, it's because they're not like completely out of focus, I think, which is what makes them look weird, because there's other scenes where there's like vast amounts of Fremen, but they're mostly just like silhouettes out of focus, so it's a little easier to hide that, I think. And also I think the you know, lighting in a Harkonnen environment versus Arrakis is a little more difficult to make look real.
That could be it. Yeah. We cut to outside where they're having a military parade. And all the crowd is chanting, "Fade Ralth, Fade Ralth." I like their little like tank looking things behind them, just like the lima beans floating in between the garrisons, I guess. And one thing I wanted to mention here is that we had talked about, I think it was last week or the week before, about how the Harkonnen army may be at a weak point right now because of the attack on Arrakis and everything.
Yeah, it was last week
with
like the amount of money that was put into it and everything.
So. Yeah. I'm going to go on record here and saying, I don't think that's the case anymore. It seems like they have a fuck ton of soldiers still.
Yeah. But I mean, all of the soldiers and all of that equipment they could have had from before the attack too. So like,
yeah, you know. True. So it's like, all of their army is not on Arrakis. It is not their, maybe it's their main like political focus, but it doesn't seem to be. It's their main military focus currently.
Yeah.
They probably pulled a bunch of their soldiers back and out of, from the planet once the attack was done.
Or they just have a home guard that, you know, stays.
Yeah, fair enough. We get another wide shot of the huge ships floating overhead. While they're not the biggest ships we've seen on screen, they are for sure very large.
Yeah.
And they're just like floating maybe, you know, 100, 200 feet above the crowd here. All coming down through this like avenue.
Yeah. Okay. So I was Mr. Flight School over here. I was wondering if that was something that you were going to pay attention to.
Well, for sure. Yeah. You know, there's no FAA restrictions on flying in formation.
Yeah.
You don't have to like file a plan with the FAA if you want to fly in formation like that. You just have to be in coordination with the other pilots that you're flying with. And you have to have experience with it, but there's also no formation flying training that exists. You just have to know someone who knows how to do it.
It's not scary at all.
Yeah. Right. But I loved how like in the distance you can see all the other ships, that are really just making their descent down, and getting in line to make this pass through the central avenue. And it's very much a military parade. I mean, we've seen videos of these for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just textbook, seems like.
Yeah, it definitely evokes, you know, the Soviet and the Korean and the Chinese and the American parades and stuff that you see, which, you know.
Anyways. So from here, we then cut to the desert. It's very hard cut.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a harsh cut, but we're saying goodbye to Gaty Prime.
Yep.
This is our last view of Gaty Prime for Dune Part 2. And I think my retinas will appreciate it because, you know, having the black and white just like eye searing, you know, brightness from that it's going to be good to not have to go through those minutes, you know, frame by frame. So,
and we're back in sepia tone, baby.
Hey, it's a little cooler on the eyes.
It's a warmer temperature, cooler on the eyes. So we get this like a scope almost pointing from the sand. It's one of those weird like monocular things that we've seen the Fremen use in the past.
Yeah. Paul was using one. What? 30-ish minutes ago when something we had like that like time cut.
Something like that, yep.
To show that time has passed a little bit. But not as much time as we have in the books. But
Funny you bring that up because the marker for showing that time had passed at that point was Paul's blue eyes. His eyes had gotten progressively more blue.
Yep.
And what do we see? We look straight down the barrel of this monocular and we see the blue eyes behind it. And then we get other POV shot of what they're looking at.
Yep.
And it's just in the last couple of frames of this minute where we see in the corner, it looks like sails and a harvester.
Well, we see the familiar, you know, balloons of a carryall from, you know, approaching from behind this dune. And we see it carrying a harvester that is not a Harkonnen harvester.
No, no.
And then, our last, you know, little bits of our last couple seconds of this minute, we are a camera kind of floating in midair. We're looking at the ground first and the shadow starts to appear and it kind of looks up. And that's where these sails and this new harvester, you know, begin to approach.
And again, I have not seen this movie in its entirety in a while. And I kind of forgot that they used an actual sail here.
Yeah. So, it's kind of cool, though.
It is cool.
It's very steampunk.
It's very piratey. Yeah.
Yo-ho.
So we're going to get to see more about this tomorrow. We get to be very familiar with this this ship that we get to see at the last couple of seconds of this minute. And that is all that I have to say about it. But, anything else from your end?
Nothing from my end this week, so or for today's episode, I should say. So I think we'll park it here for now, midair, and we'll come back to it tomorrow.
All right, cool.
As always, you can find the Dune Minute online. We are in several places, but most frequently on Blue Sky. You can find us there at DuneMinute.com, and you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us that way. We'll be back tomorrow with more episodes of the Dune Minute. See you later.
See you.